The Rambam in Perik Chav Dalet Halacha Gimel and Hilchas Ishus mentions the din that if somebody married a woman that is asa to marry her, Chayvi Lavin, Chave Asay, where the Kiddushin is Chal, but they have to separate, they have to get divorced because Api Halacha, Api Torah, they're not allowed to stay together. What is the din about the Ksuba? He had made a pledge for Ksuba. Chachamim requires during the marriage, during the Chuppah, that the chassan gives the kala the ksuba. Does he have to pay her ksuba? There's a whole discussion there that, in essence, if he didn't know about it, didn't know there was an Israel lav, there's no midrabona that kanas chachamim v'ksuba doesn't apply here, because the whole reason for ksuba is so that he would be deterred from divorcing her just at a whim. But in this case, we don't want the marriage to last because they're not allowed to be together. So that's why there's no reason for the Chachamim to institute Ksuba. But there is also the concept of Tosfos Ksuba, that a husband can add on his own, in a, over and beyond what Chazal have instituted for a Ksuba, 200 zuz for a regular marriage and 100 for an almana. So over and beyond, he wants to add his own on his own. It's called Tosfos Ksuba. What if he committed to Tosfos Ksuba? What happened to that portion of the Ksuba, the Tosfos? What happens with the Tosfos Ksuba in case where they have to get separated because they ended up marrying the wrong person? Because Al-Pi Halacha, Al-Pi Torah, they're not allowed to get married. Says the Rambam that this he has to pay. Why? Even though he can say, wait a second, Al-Pidin, I'm not allowed to be with her. So I'm only agreed to give the Tosfos Ksuba on condition that we stay together. But here she can't stay. She can't fulfill. In other words, this was like a deal. This was like a contract. He committed to give her a certain amount of money on his own, not Bitkonos Chacham. This is his own commitment in exchange for her marrying him. But if she can't stay married with him, and Bezin says they have to separate, Then why should he have to pay? He can say, listen, I'm only committed on condition that we stay married, but not if we have to separate. Says the Rambam, no, here it's different. Normally we do say that kind of, we use this logic in other cases, that if she, let's say, a couple gets married and she decides she wants to get divorced, she's the one who's insisting for divorce, then he can say, I don't give Tosfos Ksuba, why not? Because he said, I only agreed that she's going to stay married to me, not if she decides to leave. Okay. But here it's different. Here says the Rambam, she wants to stay. She wants to stay married. She said, I don't care. I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to abide by my side of the agreement, to be married to you. The fact that Torah doesn't allow it, that's what Torah does. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm prepared to honor my side of the deal, my side of the bargain, and stay your wife. The fact that Torah says no, that it's not a question on my end. It's the problem and the obstacle is not on my end, is Torah says no. But I'm ready to fulfill. As long as I'm ready to fulfill my side of the bargain, it should be I shouldn't lose my Tosfos Ksuba. This is what the Rambam says, which is remarkable. I already mentioned this a few years ago in one of the posts. That there is this famous question, is discussed by many achronim, the Nesivis, Ber Yitzchak, other achronim. And Rav Zevin brings it in his Sefer Lo'ir Halacha in the back, that an illegal contract in Torah is clearly a binding contract, even though it involves an illegal service. And the Rai is from Esnan Zoynim, and Baba Metzid of Tzadik, we discussed it then. Another Rai is from Rosh Hashanah of Chav Beis, be two Edim that agreed for a certain fee to commit perjury, if they were to honor their contract and commit perjury, can they hold on to the money? Or is the money owed to them? The answer is yes, as is Mashmir in the Gemara. But then Rav Zevin has another Shaila, taking the same Shaila but to an extreme. We understand that when someone sign a contract, and the contract involves a service which is forbidden. Let's say you hire an assassin and you promise him a certain fee, and he does it. He assassinates. And now I don't want to pay. Say it's illegal. So we say, well, let's go to Bezdin. Bezdin will say, you owe him the money. He did his side of the deal. Now you owe him the other side. The contract is still a valid binding contract, even though Torah says it was terrible what they did. He wasn't allowed to do it. There's a raya from Ribis. So now, what if it's, let's say, what makes the question really harder to answer is what if the guy didn't commit the crime yet? Let's say I give the assassin money a day before. He takes the money ahead of time. Before he commits his act of killing, I go to him and say, listen, let's go to Bezdin. I want my money back. You're not allowed to fulfill your side of the bargain. Torah says, forbidden lo yisirtzach. So therefore, the deal is off. You have to give me back my money. Now, the guy, the assassin, says, I'm ready to do it. I'm prepared to do it. From my end, there's no obstacle. Torah says, no. Hey, listen, if Bezdin will tie my hand, what can I do? But I'm willing to honor my side of the bargain. There's no problem, no obstruction on my end. Do we say indeed that Bezdin will say to the assassin, you don't have to give him back the money, but you can't assassinate because it's Leisirtzach? Or these two things are contradictory. If you tell him that Leisirtzach is not allowed to carry out your side of the contract because it's an Avera, a contract cannot override an Avera. But then maybe he has to give back the money too. So Rav Zevin brings from both from the Nesivos and Chavos Das and from the Be'er Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, the Kovner Rav, in that case, no, the deal is off. Since the Torah says he can't do it and we don't allow him to do it because it's a crime, it's an Avera, then the deal is off and he has to give back the money. But when we look in, and Rav Zevin disagrees, and he brings a raif and a ritva and an avidezore, a pshat, which ritva learns in a sugya there. When we look in Rambam, l'chere, it would seem the Rambam is befurish. Befurish, not like the Nesivos and not like the Be'er Yitzchak, but Be'em is like Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin doesn't even bring the Rambam. Rambam says befurish, that even though he tainis, I only agree to pay her the Tosfos Ksuba. If she's my wife, and she stays my wife, says the Rambam, he still has to pay her, even if he divorces her. Even if Torah forces him to divorce her. Why? Because she says the obstacle is not on her end. She's willing to stay with him, even though it's an Avera. So Mela, from a contractual standpoint, she still owed the money. As the Rambam. So Mamash Befurish. So Pella, that none of these Achoinim bring that Rambam. Unless I'm misunderstanding something in the Rambam. What's even more surprising, the Chavos Das brings a raya to his shita from the din Mekadesh Achoisai. Right? He says, there's a din Mekadesh Achoisai. Says the Gemara, as Amarik is Rav and Shmuel. What happens in the Matbei he gave her? He gave her, it's Mekadesh, his sister. It's Mekadesh, his sister. He says, it's Mekadesh, he gives her a Matbei. Everybody knows that there's no Kiddushim with the sister. So it's a chorus. So what happens to the matbeah? Can she keep it or does she have to give it back? Right? So Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. And both say that Adam Yodea is in Kiddushin Tevshin Bachoy. So there's no Kiddushin here. So Shaila is only whether he meant to give it as a matana. So we say she can keep it because he knew that the Kiddushin is not Tevshin. So why did he give it to her? Give it to her because he wanted to give her anyways a matana. But he attached it to Kiddushin. But really he meant to give her a matana anyways. So that's why she can keep it al smatana. The other one says, no, she has to give it back since it's not a kiddushin. He gave it to her as kiddushin, and now it's a toss, it's a mistake. There's no kiddushin here, so she has to give back the money. This is the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Says the Nesivos from here is a rayim to his shita. That what? That if there is an avera outstanding in the contract, the guy who's supposed to do that side of the bargain cannot say, I'm willing to do it. From my end, there's no obstruction, therefore I don't have to give back the money. No. Here in the Gemara, by Mekadesh Achoisai, nobody says, oh, she can keep the money because you know, it's she said, I'm willing to stay with him. Right? The Torah says it's a chorus. So Mamel is a raya that we don't say such a thing. If it's also to stay together, then it means the contract goes off and she has to return the money. So Zevin correctly argues that from that Gemara is nishkin raya b'chalal. There is nishik shayla of a iso. There's a shayla that there's no kedushin there. The whole transaction is never happened. We are talking about a case where there is a transaction, but it involves an isudika tanai, an isudika service. But here, the transaction never happened. It's never happened, and you have to return it. That's why it's a machlokes, it's Rav Shmuel. But what I don't understand is, so what would happen? See, Rav Shmuel talking about Mekadosh HaChosay, and because it's not Kiddushin. What would happen if it's a isa lav, like the Rambam talks about? And Bezin says they have to separate. They can't be Mekadosh then. So would anybody say she has to return the Malbeya? Because he gave her the Malbeya only on condition that she would be married to him. We don't say that. One could actually ask, what would happen if she wants to get divorced? There's no issa here. We should that she decided she wants to get divorced, which it is. That he doesn't have to give her ksuba or the teishuk ksuba because he says I didn't commit myself. What about the matbeah of kedushin? What if he gave her kedushin a nice matbeah? So she have to return that as well. At any rate, it's just a pella atzum. There's a befurish Rambam and nobody mentions it.